Welcome to Divine Inspiration by Dantisha James. Today we're going to talk about self-love session one. Yes, self-love session one. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "And God called the dry land earth and gathered together the water of the waters called his seas, and God saw that it was good." Seven times God states that what he created was good. Each part of God's creation completely fulfilled his will and attended his intended purpose. God created the world to reflect his glory and to be a place where humankind could share his joy in life. So, you know how I am. Sometimes I'll come out here with some questions and sometimes I don't. But this is going to be some questions. Both man and woman are special creation of God. Is that true or false? Let's see what the word of God says. So let's go into Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And this is what the word of God says. And then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." And so both man and woman were a special creation of God, not a product of evolution. Man and woman were both created in the image and likeness of God. On the basis of this image, they could respond to and have fellowship with God and uniquely reflects his love, glory, and holiness. They were to do so by knowing God and obeying him. They possess a moral likeness to God, for they were sinless and holy, possessing wisdom, a heart of love, and the will to do right. They lived in a personal fellowship with God that involved moral obedience in intimate communion. When Adam and Eve sinned, their moral likeness to God was corrupted. In redemption through our Lord Jesus Christ, we must be renewed to original moral likeness with the help of the Holy Spirit. And so my next question is, do you think our entire self should reflect the image of God? Let me say it again. Do you think our entire self should reflect the image of God? We are reflections of God's glory. Some feel that our reasons, creativity, speech, or self-determination is the image of God. More likely, it is our entire self that reflects the image of God. We will never be totally like God because he is our supreme creator. But we do have the ability to reflect his character in our love, patience, forgiveness, kindness, and faithfulness. Knowing that we are made in God's image and share many of his characteristics provides a solid basis for self-worth. Because we bear God's image, we can feel positive about ourselves. And so my next question is, do you criticize and downgrade yourself as a child of God? Let me say it again. Do you criticize and downgrade yourself as a child of God? And why? So let's go into Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. And let's see what the word of God says. It says this: "He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding." Criticizing and downgrading ourselves is criticizing what God has made and the ability he has given us. Knowing that you are a person of worth helps you love God, know him personally, and make a valuable contribution to those around you. Predestined means marked out beforehand. This is another way of saying that salvation is God's work and not our own doing. Let me say that sentence again. This is another way of saying salvation is God's work and not our own doing. In his infinite love, God has adopted us as his children. Through Jesus' sacrifice, he has brought us into his family and made us heirs along with Jesus. In Roman law, adopted children had, back in the times in Roman law, adopted children had the same rights and privileges as biological children, even if they have been slaves. And so Apostle Paul is using this term to show how strong our relationship to God is. Freely given us in the one he loves means that God graciously accepts us through, though we don't deserve it. Now that we belong to his dearly loved son, grace is God's voluntary and loving favor given to those he saves. To receive it, we must acknowledge that we cannot save ourselves, that only God can save us, and that our only way to receive this loving favor is through Jesus Christ. Number four question I have to ask you, and it's going to be, how well do you display your love for God in the choices you make and the actions you take? Let me say it again, just in case you didn't understand it, because it might be tongue twisted to you, or you might just need more clarity of what I asked. So it says, how well do you display your love for God in the choices you make and the actions you take? Let's go into 1 John chapter 4, and I want to read verse 7 through 8. Let's look and see what the word of God says. It says this, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And so everyone believes that love is important, but love is usually thought of as a feeling. In reality, love is a choice in an action. And if you need more scripture to read about that, go into 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 7, and it'll show you love is a choice and love is an action. And so God is the source of our love. He loved us enough to sacrifice his son for us. Jesus is our love. Jesus is our loved us enough to sacrifice his son for us. Jesus is our example of what it means to love. Everything he did in life and death was supremely loving. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to love. He lives in our hearts and makes us more and more like Christ. God's love always involves a choice and an action, and our love should be like his. Because God loves us, we who have experienced his love, forgiveness, and help are obligated to help others, even at a great personal cost. If we love one another, God continues to live in us, and his love is perfected in us. And so my next question is, does your life reflect this new perspective? What I'm talking about, Dantisha, Christians are brand new people on the inside. So does your life reflect this new perspective? Does your life as a Christian reflects this new perspective? So let's go into 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm going to go down to verse 17 through 19. Let's look up and see what the word of God says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. And so Christians are brand new people on the inside. The Holy Spirit gives them a new life, and they are not the same anymore. We are not reformed, rehabilitated, or re-educated. We are recreated new creations, living in a vital union with Christ. At conversion, we are not merely turning over a new leaf. We are beginning a new life under a new master. While this newness is true individually, Apostle Paul is saying much more. Not only are believers changed from within, but a whole new order of creative, a new perspective, a new body, a new church. All of creation is being renewed. So take notice this. So take notice. This is not a superficial change that will be quickly superseded by another novelty. This is an entirely new order of all creation under Christ's authority. It requires a new way of looking at all people in all of creation. God brings us back to himself, reconciles us by blotting out our sins and making us righteous. And if you need more scriptures about that, let's go into Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 through 18. Reconciliation is one of the aspects of Christ's work of redemption. The restoration of the sinner to fellowship with God. Reconciliation becomes effective for each person through his or her personal repentance in faith in Christ. The church has been given the ministry of reconciliation, calling all people to be reconciled to God. And so my last question is, does God want us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice daily or just on Sunday? Let me say that sentence again because that's so good right there. Does God want us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice daily or just on Sunday? Let's go into Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. The word of God says this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so, when sacrificing an animal according to God's law, a priest will kill the animal, cut it in pieces, and place it on the altar. Sacrifice was important, but even in the Old Testament, God made it clear that obedience from the heart was much more important. And if you need that scripture, it's 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. God wants us to offer ourselves, not animals, as a living sacrifice, daily laying aside our own desires to follow him. Putting all our energy and resources at his disposal and trusting him to guide us. We do this out of gratitude that our sins have been forgiven. God has good, pleased, and perfect plans for his children. He wants us to be transformed people with renewed mind, living to honor and obeying him because he wants only what is best for us. And because he gave his son to make our new lives possible, we should joyfully give ourselves as living sacrifices for his services. Christians are called to not conform to the patterns of this world. Let me say this again, sentence again. Christians are called to not to conform to the patterns of this world with its behaviors and customs that are usually selfish and often corrupted. Our refusal to conform to this world values must go even deeper than the level of behavior and customs. It must be firmly planted in our minds, being transformed by renewing of your mind and my mind. Only when the Holy Spirit renews, re-educates, and redirects our minds, we are truly transformed as God's children. So self-love session one is learning to love you within as a Christian, as a believer, being transformed, being renewed, being molded by God to be who he created you to be within ourselves. So whatever's within us can come out of us. So that's why it's so important for us to work on ourselves, because inside of us is where God's changing us as we seek him. Well, as we ask, as we seek him, as we continually, persistently knock at his door, he's changing us from the inside out. But it's our responsibility to renew our mind, our responsibility to build a relationship with him, our responsibility to have faith in him as a believer while he is working within us, and trust in what he say, not how our feelings feel about how love's supposed to be. Love is called, God is love, and God wants us to be love and be able to love others as he turns us around to be more like his son, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for listening to Divine Inspiration. God bless you. Bye.